Vegas lights shine bright, bad boy sitting pretty. Michael Steve Robb running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Welcome, everybody, to the Vegas Bad Boys podcast. It is I, Sin City Steve, being joined, as always, by Vegas Trump guy, Rob Bossolari. Rob, you've got another week of wrestling in the books, brother.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Yeah, man. Yeah. A lot of stuff happened this week between, you know, all of your major companies, and we're going to break it all down for you. Again, thank you for hanging out with us tonight. We are live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. So if you are on one of those platforms, feel free to blast your comments into the chat. And who knows, we may put it up on the screen and interact with it. And yeah, interact with the show. Like, yeah, man.
It's supposed to be like neon yellow. It's coming up as green.
It's green, brother.
For the purposes of the green screen, I guess it is.
Absolutely. So, without any further ado, let's dive in and let's talk about the most recent pro wrestling show, talking about Monday Night Raw that actually just finished up not too long ago here. And tonight was a tribute to AJ Styles. And yeah, man, from the beginning, we knew that this was going to be a big deal because they had dignitaries and people that we hadn't seen in a while. And
a lot of TNA people.
Yes,
a lot of TNA people.
Man. Absolutely.
It was a tribute to TNA.
It was. And, you know, right from the beginning, you had Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, not so much. But elsewhere, we did see Gunther get kicked out of the building and ended up getting attacked by Dragon Lee for disrespecting AJ Styles. So obviously they're building to a Gunther destroying Dragon Lee squash match.
Oh yeah. There's no way.
Yeah, man. Probably the quickest tap out win ever. But elsewhere on the show, we did have the Good Brothers making an appearance. So it was really good to see Anderson and Gallows back on WWE TV, but they were not the only ones, sir. No,
actually, I wanted to back up there. The significance of that picture.
Yes.
Because those are all Bullet Club members, and they were referenced appropriately as Bullet Club members, and that is the Gorillas of Destiny with the Good Brothers. And Regin, who is, I think she would be the only one who rolled with Bullet Club people that was not Bullet Club.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, realistically, you know, she would have probably fit the profile if she would have been in New Japan Pro Wrestling, but obviously she
or
was
anywhere
contracted.
Else. If she had been in TNA yeah. still, she would have been
well,
yeah. in.
And yeah, I'm just saying that just because obviously the Bullet Club originated in New Japan.
Right, right. Kenta made that brief appearance over in TNA. Had she still been there, they were there at the time, and they handed it over to the ABC, she would have been a Bullet Club member.
Very
if they
true.
Were going to put her that direction.
Very anyway. True. No, you're good. You're good. And obviously, they were not the only the only TNA talents to appear. As Abyss and Frankie Kazarian both appeared on WWE Raw, which, you know, you got to figure for Abyss, it's just another day at the office, right? He just packed a different set of gear because obviously, you know, he's one of the major writers on the Raw writing staff. But nonetheless, still great to see Chris Park in his Abyss gimmick. And great to see Frankie Kazarian, friend of the show. And yeah, it's great that he's showing up on Raw, on Netflix. And yeah, the dude.
Am I reading too much into the Abyss thing, or is that just, you know, it's throwing us a little nostalgia bone, a little memory berry?
Oh, yeah. Dude, it was almost all nostalgia. I dare I say the you know, the only kind of return that wasn't so much TNA based nostalgia as what it just was nostalgia was, that's right, Homo Sapiens almost returned to WWE Raw and showed up there with Petey Williams and Jeremy Borash. So again, the TNA ties just keep on going. You gotta love it, right?
Petey Williams is TNA royalty, as is Jeremy Borash, the ring announcer. I do miss his voice calling or announcing the people as they make it to ringside. I don't know what almost had to do with TNA.
Hey man, whatever gets almost on TV, I'm sure the Homo Sapiens are all about it. So, but yeah. that was not the only people there to greet and to pay a tribute to AJ Styles, as in the show's final segment. That's right. Woo! Undertaker shows up, the dead man himself. And
actually, he was the American Badass this time.
Well, the Undertaker is always the dead man. So in any event, completely in American Badass gear. Essentially, Mark Calloway was who came out there and said that he had unfinished business with AJ Styles, and then proceeded to drop the bombshell that AJ Styles is being named to the 2026 Hall of Fame class. Dude, probably one of the quickest turnarounds from a retirement to the being named into the Hall of Fame that we've ever seen, if not the fastest that we've ever seen.
All right, now here's me. I'm going to put something dumb out there. Maybe it's not dumb. If you had a fear in mind that this guy might go over to AEW, what better way to lock him in but then to guilt this fucker into giving him a Hall of Fame ring right out the gate? Because he never said he was retiring from wrestling. He was retiring right from the WWE. He takes his gloves off. I don't know if you had that one. He takes his gloves and gear off here because it was Georgia where he's from. But I more symbolically took it to mean you're going to be in an AEW ring real soon.
Yeah.
And leave this guy with the ring of guilt. Yeah. Guilt plus 10 for your D&D people.
Dude, realistically, I mean, if you want to think about it, what better way to if you want to throw out D&D terms, yeah, man, freaking intimidation to get the Undertaker out there and to shoot on AJ Styles and say, yeah, by the way, congratulations, you're making the Hall of Fame. If it would have been even Triple H, who, quite frankly, we see pretty regularly, I don't think it would have had the same gravitas as the Undertaker coming out there and dropping that bombshell.
I think Triple H has enough sense to know where the best choice was. He knows it can't always be him.
Absolutely agreed.
He's too corporate now. He really is.
Yeah. But, for a show that was listed as a tribute to AJ Styles, obviously there were plenty of appearances and that segment that we just mentioned, but there were other things on this show as well. Rob, tell me about other things that happened on this show that stood out for you, sir.
All right, let's get this out of the way. Before that, we were greeted with Brock Lesnar, and to tie in with the dead man, they mentioned Paul Heyman comes down to the ring and says that Brock Lesnar is the one who beat the Undertaker streak, and that there were two main events to every WrestleMania, which was the belt, and then of course fighting the Undertaker. Those were your two WrestleMania main events, which is ironic because there were some years where Undertaker was fighting for the belt or had it, but I digress. And because Brock Lesnar beat him, it is now Brock Lesnar's mantle. And I don't think so. They kind of pulled that out of their ass. No one ever established that was a thing. In fact, did he even wrestle last WrestleMania? I don't even remember. I don't think so. And I was there. He wasn't even there. So this idea that he's been holding up this mantle as his unbeaten guy following WrestleMania, where he beats Taker, is very silly. They're trying to retcon, as you would, put in a new reality that never was there. But the reason why Paul Heyman is really walking down to the ring with Brock Lesnar is we are down one more member of the Vision. Bronson Reed fighting against the Yeet Man and against El Grande Americano Original, tore his bicep.
Yep. Oop, wrong one. There we go.
Now, they've been calling Jey Uso. I've been seeing some video reels of Jey Uso being a botch guy. And a lot of times he's making a mistake. I think this was a shocker. I think they pulled an audible because this guy got hurt.
They did. They absolutely did. Bronson Reed was supposed to be the winner of that match.
Yeah.
So he was supposed to move on. Yeah.
Yeah. Jey Uso was like, ah, fuck. Yep. Shit. All right. I'll yeet it up. Yep. Yeah. J1-ish. Shit. He looks beat to shit, by the way. They're working, running him ragged. He needs a fucking vacation. He needs a vacation. That crow's peak is telling me it's his time to stop with the Eddie Guerrero haircut. Just take a vacation. You and your brother, lose some pounds, turn the frowns upside down, do something, because this is just, he's there, but I digress. So now we're down another guy. All right,
it kills me that the Vision is at this point, they have to be cursed, right? I mean, there's no other explanation.
Well, you know what? The Vision is less clear when the glass is cracked. You're down to your two weakest. I shouldn't say weakest. Bronson Reed wasn't the talker. Bronson Reed was there to just be a heavy. He was there to be an enforcer. Now you've got Austin Theory, which is not a very strong guy. He's not very, very skilled on the mic. He's decent. He's a decent mid-carder. And then you've got Logan Paul, which for all intents and purposes should be shot up to the moon, but not like this, because it's just a non sequitur now. Now you're just doing it because there's nobody else left. The whole thing was built on the back of Seth Rollins hurt. Okay. Bro. All right. It's okay. It's okay, guys. Cool. Chill. We've got Braun. No, Braun got broke. Braun was breaking. Okay, Braun Breaker. Okay, gone. All right. Wait. All right. Bronson Reed. Here's the story. All battle tested. Bloody hell. Gone. And now you've got Logan Paul. They have to put the belt as sternly as they can. I want to see them drill it onto the back of L.A. Knight now, because fuck all these other people. You know? Now, would L.A. Knight be deserving to beat Drew McIntyre? I don't think so, because Drew McIntyre is where he needs to be right now. I would rather have seen L.A. Knight run Raw. Everything is fucked up right now. And because everything is fucked up, you're getting a really shitty WrestleMania right now. They have essentially entered AEW country, where they have 1 month to pull a WrestleMania out of their ass.
Yeah.
And those ticket prices better drop. Prices better drop. If you want me there, better be giving me a box seat for what I spent last year. Shit.
Yeah. No shit, man. And obviously, we'll talk about the ticket price creep that we've seen from previous years as opposed to the sprint this year. It's pretty dramatic. I've got some pretty interesting data from which we'll pull this. But
for what I spent last year, I better have a box seat with Tiffany Stratton giving me a full fucking massage. Jesus.
There you go. Speaking of massages, what else stood out
Mandy
to you?
Mandy Moore versus Natalya. All right. So this was the dumbest fucking match. You have Natalya take Maxine Dupri and just kind of elbow check her. Maxine Dupri does this wild over-the-top spin and go headfirst into the turnbuckle. From the ground, they're outside the ring. She goes into the corner. hits the post and is knocked unconscious, to which Natty pummels her with fists to the back of the head. And the ref says, get off of her. No, get off of her. No, get off of her. Okay, you win. Usually, when you don't follow the ref's orders, you forfeit the match. But somehow, they just said, all right, we want this to be over. Talia, you win. And get out. And Maxxine Dupri is now, you've taken her and you another notch down. Now, leading up to that stupid finish, Maxxine Dupri was following up with high kicks. She got thrown out into the timekeeper's area and countered. She had counters. She had high kicks. She had ankle locks. She was holding her own and then gets taken out by a basic move, which makes no earthly sense. If you, I mean, make it make sense, Steve. Is the point to build up Maxxine Dupri or to now put over Natty? I don't know what they're doing.
Bro, I don't think that they know what they're doing. And that's the worst part, because if they had any kind of continuity in the booking, then at least their direction would be set. And unfortunately, both major professional wrestling promotions suffer from this. But yeah, dude, it seemed like as if they were wanting to just strap the rocket to Maxine's back and, you know,
then they threw cold water on it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the exact same thing that that WWE fans accused AEW of doing, and which rightfully so, they've done it on numerous occasions where they've gone hot, cold with booking. And realistically, when you do that, it leaves everybody lukewarm to the fans.
Now, Natty is on Busted Open. And the problem is, when she's on Busted Open, she's not selling this all that much. She's tight-lipped about it, and she's Natalya Neidhart, and she's playing a very dry, basic commentator, and that's fine, but you're also doing a heel character. So you're breaking the fourth wall by doing your program.
Yep.
That would be like me. That'd be like me as a heel manager at FSW and then coming here and just acting like I don't do that. And that's exactly what she's doing. She gets out there and then she acts like, let's analyze wrestling. You are in the wrestling. When they would do Thunder Rosa would be Thunder Rosa. She would talk about a match in the present tense. This is what's happening. She's not trying to ignore it. So what in the hell is the point of having her as his heel character, and then she goes on serious and doesn't talk about it? Oh, I can't talk about that, Dave LaGreca, because you'll have to find out what I'm going to do next. So anyway, I really like the achievements of this. What?
That's what? Bullshit. Like, you gotta be on when you have your media appearances.
They gave her I don't want to hype up the serious stuff, but there's a context to this. They have her on a regular spinoff show from Busted Open with Dave LaGreca. I forgot the name of it. Doesn't matter. But she's on a show with the two of them now, analyzing wrestling. And I'm going, that's fine. But you're in the middle of a big heel change. And right. I would almost want you to be kind of bitchy. Yeah. And stay in character. The fact that you're just yourself, you're no selling yourself.
Right.
What the fuck are you no selling yourself for?
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense, man. That's again, the thing is, you know, continuity, the willing suspension of disbelief. And for the longest, the storytelling was kind of lackluster, but still, you would have people that would keep kayfabe. And I agree. I haven't, full disclosure, I haven't listened to this show. But just based off of what you're saying, yeah, I don't understand why there would be such a polar difference between, you know, Natalya that we see on Raw versus Natalya that we hear and see Dave on LaGreca Busted Open.
Asks her, he's like, yo, what's going on? And she'll be like, well, Dave, I can't talk about that. And like, TNA did this with Bully Ray and Tommy Dreamer. Bully Ray and Tommy Dreamer were feuding a couple of years back, and Bully Ray splashed hot coffee in the face of Tommy Dreamer. And on that TNA segment was Dave LaGreca. So when they came on air together, busted open, they were semi in character. Dave's like, Tommy would be like, yeah, I'm not really in the mood to talk to you right now, Bully, but for the show, they knew that they still had a job to do,
right,
in the ring on camera. And they played it like they were not at 100%, but they had a job to do. It's not that hard. Now, I have not listened to the program all that much, but from the few times that I've listened to her, it's just business as usual commentating on what's going on in wrestling. I what are you doing? Stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, man. Right. It's crazy. Anyway, let's pivot a little bit on talk about Liv Morgan, and she made her decision.
Yeah.
So right there, first you see it, Liv Morgan. She's choosing to face Stephanie Vaquer at WrestleMania. As if there was any kind of question about it.
Right. Why is Jade Cargill dressed up like Lyra Valkyria with black feathers on? And she just looks completely out of her element. She's got that big shit-eating grin on. She had nothing to say. When they called the two women out there, I did not like the layout of this segment. Yeah. All right, I summon you, like very condescending, I summon you now. And I don't like that the two women went along with it like that. I would have had Jade Cargill get on the teleprompter, on the screen, on the Titantron and go, I don't just come to your beck and call. I'm the champion. You're not. Why would Jade Cargill, as big as she is, as strong as she is, just come when somebody snaps their fingers? It's usually the opposite. Usually you have to prove that you're worthy to get in the ring with the champion. They made it the other way around. And they made it the other way around so she could get a revenge punch on Stephanie Vaquer, which I also don't understand. Because all Stephanie Vaquer said is, I worked hard, you didn't. And she burst into tears crying, Liv Morgan. And it's such a bizarre angle. I worked hard for this. You did not. I don't have anyone to help me. You had personal trainers. Okay, yeah. Oh, I had personal trainers. I surrounded myself with a crew of people. Dominic called me. Yeah, that is the story. We know that. Why would she be upset about that? And Dominic Mysterio is looking like Kevin Federline now. He just looks like this just fucking idiotic. He looks like a fucking Timu, you know, Cheech Marin right now, you know. I don't know. It looks like somebody said, ChatGPT, make me a Mexican kid. Like, make me an LA gangbanger. And they came up with that. Like, let me get like a Mexican gangbanger. And they made the most generic looking. I get it. He's paying homage to like about five different wrestlers with his ring attire. And he's paying homage to Eddie Guerrero. I get it. But now you're in your own element and you've been doing this a while. And I don't know. He's never grown out of being a goofball. Right. That's my problem with him. He's never, ever gone shirtless. Not that I'm looking to see, Dom. I'm saying he's never looked like, all right, this is a strong guy in the ring that I should fear. There are short wrestlers, luchadors, 5'6", 5'7", come out there and you're like, oh my God, these guys are rippling. This guy is still wearing fucking his ring attire is layers of clothing. Like, okay. All right. What year is this? How many years have you had to get a physique going? Okay. You're scary. Huh. Whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
Yeah. And the thing is, obviously, it's hard to question what he's done in the ring, But yeah, I can totally see what you're saying in terms of his overall in-ring attire, not doing him any kind of favors in terms of the perception department. So I can totally get that.
He looks just completely unprepared often, and he wins every match with some goofball shitter assistance. And they finally said to him today with the Judgment Day, they obviously are setting up a split of Finn Balor from the Judgment Day. He had the
He made up with
JD McDonagh, and he goes, I got to do this on my own. And then Dom goes, hey, you didn't come out and help my match. You didn't come out and try to help me. And I've got a big match coming up this weekend. Are you going to be in my corner? And he goes, why don't you fight for yourself for a change? So we know that they might set up Dom to lose the IC belt. And then Dom and JD McDonagh come and just beat the shit and cost Finn Balor. I don't see Finn Balor losing straight up. He's going to get his opportunity taken away by the Judgment Day. And it'll be JD McDonagh versus Finn Balor for a while. I think the Judgment Day is going to maybe be all women, maybe. It's interesting. That would be interesting. Make it all women. And just get rid of the men.
I could see that. And, you know, last but not least from Raw, speaking of Raquel Rodriguez advanced by defeating Kairi Sane and Io Sky, crazily enough, to enter the Elimination Chamber. Realistically, if you think about it, what more of a statement does she need to make than, you know, defeating Kairi and Io in the same freaking match just to get into the chamber? So obviously, they're pushing her, you know, they're pushing Raquel. And I think that, yes, it's become a polarizing thing. But Kevin Nash, voicing that she should wrestle more to her size and stature in the ring, as opposed to trying to do more high flying and smaller wrestler things,
is right.
It's absolutely right. And if you'll notice, in the weeks since that info has happened, she's taken those things to heart. And moreover, the agents in her matches have taken that to heart as well. So she's come off looking like a bigger star and wrestling more to her size and to her stature than what she ever has, quite frankly, on the main roster.
She squashed these two women, but also, let's be fair, Io Sky and Kairi Sane canceled each other out and allowed her. And that was fine. Because
at the end of the day, she still holds a victory over both women in that match.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, no problem with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's pivot a bit. Let's talk about SmackDown and what went down on Friday.
You are toxic, Alba Femi. God. I'm going to read you a poem. Oh, this is good. Read me another one. I don't have another one prepared. Oh, well, I have the one. I'm sorry, Alba Femi. I don't like you a lot, for you are toxic. And then he gets the shit kicked out of him. Kit Wilson on his own. Okay. Him being ragdolled every week. Okay. But we've seen this before, this kind of I'm a feminist thing. All right, fine. You're a feminist. Cool. But this whole gimmick is getting stale rapidamente.
I completely agree.
Because you know what he is? He's the feminist version of The Miz.
Yeah.
He is there for comic relief and to get thrown around in the ring. Yep. And that's it.
Absolutely. And, who better to do that than Oba? Let's be real. Who better to do that than Alba Femi?
And they've not clarified what side he's on, because he was on Raw tonight. They're still up in the air on him.
Well, he's still, like, if you go to the WWE main roster page, he is a free agent. He's listed as free agent. So yeah, they've not had him labeled for either Raw or SmackDown. So
Okay.
Pretty interesting description, distinction, I should say. I'm sorry. Pretty interesting distinction for somebody just coming up from the NXT roster. Despite, you know, no matter how much he had that men's division just under right. his foot in that now in that promotion.
They did set up on Raw tonight a quick vignette where he looks like he might feud with Rusev. So, but now so it's just another option to squash Rusev.
I was going to say, so Rusev is okay with taking L's now. That's awesome.
Good Lord.
It's about time, dude. Jesus.
They got to ring Rusev out. They're using him like a dirty wash rag.
Exactly, man. Exactly. So, you know, obviously SmackDown this week was on Sci-Fi. So, you know, it obviously if you watched it, Rob, I'm sure that you're joining probably about 350,000 other people that did. So, yeah, go ahead and give us some more insight.
I did thumb through it. When it comes to, let's go to the women's trio.
Okay.
Nia Jax, no. Kiana James, yes. And how is it done? So eloquently, you've got the figure eight, and you're already basically pinned. So Kiana James just takes her in the middle of a figure eight and pins Charlotte Flair and runs off.
It makes all the sense in the world. It really makes all the sense in the world. Charlotte is protected. Because obviously they're trying to get over the fact that Kiana James is extremely intelligent. And what a better way to do that than to just do the common sense things. I mean, it's not freaking brain surgery. You know, it's not rocket science.
Also, just if Nia Jax if Charlotte Flair has got the knee problems, you don't want to give her a full-time schedule. And if Nia Jax is on a weight loss journey, and then you're going to have her in ring sparsely for the next year or so.
Which makes sense. Shout outs to Nia Jax. I believe that I saw on social media where she's down nearly 100 pounds, which is fucking awesome. Awesome.
She's like, you know what they're doing is obviously you make ring attire along the way, and she looks still big. But when you look at her, you're like, yeah, she has a neck. She looks more defined. It's getting there. There's a development. I would have personally liked to have seen her just disappear for a while, show up looking completely different, then have her do one of the hooded gimmicks or something like that, or a mask. No, I'm being serious. And then, oh my God.
You know how Triple H loves his hooded figures.
Right. Right. But yeah, I would love to see her just show up completely chiseled out, looking like Rhea Ripley physique. I would have loved to have seen that. I think she could do it. And it's what she used to look like way back when.
Yep, exactly. A lot of people forget that. But yeah, obviously before her days in pro wrestling, Nia Jax was a model. And not any kind of a disclaimer before that. She was an actual model. Congratulations to her for dropping the pounds that she has, for putting in the effort. It clearly shows. And whenever anybody's on any kind of a journey like that, you got to applaud it, man. You got to cheer along the way. And that's not just for lip service. That's being real. Everybody should strive to be as healthy as they possibly can.
The only thing I want from her is to dial in her dialogue. She comes in very obnoxious. But not mean, just annoying. I don't like the way she walks the ring, just lackluster, arms like swaying, like all just deadpan. She needs to have some bravado when she comes to the ring, some confidence, and she really doesn't. She always has this look like, I'm so annoyed to be here. She sounds like a Karen in the ring, and they need to work on her personality. Yeah. And she's another one. Don't fucking upload happy-go-lucky TikTok videos of you dancing with your mom. Exactly. Stop that shit.
Exactly.
Stop that. No. Bad Nia Jax. Lena Fanine, or whatever the fuck your last name is. Stop it. You're a bitch. That's your character. Be the character that your character is. That's it. Now, in real life, you're a sweetheart. You're probably a person I would like to meet, talk. You've got probably uplifting stories, great things to do. And if that's what you want your character to be one day, cool. You, the universe will get behind you. They did once already. However, right now, your character for the last some odd years has been a bitch. And you've botched a few people and injured them. And you kind of made him famous. Jade Cargill. Yeah. And
Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch. So, fuck, for God's sakes, that's your character. No two-stepping on social media. Stop that shit.
No.
H, get on that. Hey, Naya, you know, we need you to be a bitch on your social media, which we own, by the way.
Yeah, I love how that started off as Trump and then like changed into something else.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's right. Anyways, we'll get to that later.
Yeah, of course. All right. So let's pivot and talk about that other promotion. And let's talk about AEW Dynamite, which came from Sacramento, California this week. And we had quite a bit that went down on this show. We did not talk about one thing that I really did want to talk about on SmackDown. So yeah, it's my show. It's our show. Fuck it. We're throwing it in reverse. Let's talk about Trick Williams and
we got
to talk about Trick, dude. You got everything kind of thrown off on this tangent.
Pump that Trick. The crowd's behind him. He's got the verbiage. He's got the in-ring ability. He crushed the other two guys. He's not going to win Elimination Chamber, but he'll come close.
He is unbelievably over as a face. And the fact that, you know, just it's not just his entrance theme where you've got the fans yelling out, whoop that Trick, but it's all through the match. Like, people love this guy and genuinely want to see him succeed. I think that they have something special in Trick Williams for the next decade if they play their cards right. But here, Trick did pick up the win over Damian Priest and Carmelo Hayes in that three-way to advance to the Elimination Chamber. And I wanted to make sure that we talked about Trick and continuing his meteoric rise. A lot of people thought that, you know, after he flirted with that main event scene, that he was just going to be thrown back into the mid card. Honestly, no. At this point, they're positioning him like as if he is almost on the threshold of being a main eventer. So props to WWE. We always give him shit for not building people. This is one of those occasions where they're continuing to see that through.
So here's the deal with that. We were told that with LA Knight.
Yeah.
And his organic rise. You've got Cody Rhodes, who is now on a mini story with Drew McIntyre. Cody Rhodes is more than likely going to win the Elimination Chamber and go after Drew McIntyre. That means now you've got Trick Williams and LA Knight, who are supremely over and are going to be thrown not in the mid card. They're going to be thrown into obscurity with Damian Priest and Aleister Black and Rusev, all people who deserve some sort of a belt or some sort of anything, and they're not going to get it. Even with a heavyweight belt and a universal title, you've got a lot of people who deserve. Now, more so than Damian Priest, LA Knight, and Trick Williams. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But now you're going to have this weekend, you're going to have a homeboy, Prince Devitt, get his ass kicked by his own people. Okay. And then he's going to go on some redemption arc, and then he's going to want the belt and he'll get it as a baby face. Maybe. So, I mean, Jesus Christ.
Well,
it's a logjam.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, actually, it's a good problem for them to have, but I mean, realistically, I mean, damn. You know what? Instead of shifting gears, let's just go ahead and pivot. Let's just talk about Elimination Chamber. You threw out some fantasy booking scenarios. So Let's talk about our predictions.
Old Braun Breakers on it. So sad.
Yeah, it's you know, it's what you find when you do a search on Google for Elimination Chamber. So there you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's go ahead and talk about this then. So for the men's chamber, you've got Randy Orton, LA Knight, Cody Rhodes, Javon Evans, Trick Williams, and Jey Uso. And let's just go ahead and say it. Cody wins this thing.
Of course.
Of course, Cody wins this thing.
Next. But they'll make it close. So then they'll drag it out. Or, I mean, will they do another long protracted story leading up to the following WrestleMania? No. Solve it now. Have him go to WrestleMania. Three Cody's in a row. Why not?
Of course.
And it doesn't mean he has to win at WrestleMania. We want Drew McIntyre to hold this belt, because Drew McIntyre sitting in the box seat that he purchased for himself on Friday was an amazing look. He's a good heel. He's doing good work as a heel.
He's a great heel.
He's good. This is good. Not him as a baby face during the pandemic, which was dog shit. No, him as a heel. Perfect. Let him hold that belt for a dumb long time.
Yeah, completely. And so obviously we both got Cody in that one. For the women's elimination chamber, you got Tiffany versus Rhea versus Alexa versus Asuka versus Kiana versus Raquel. Rob, who you got in this wide open match?
Well,
To go on to face Jade Cargill.
Alexa Bliss, no. Asuka, no. You have to have some mic shit going on. Tiffany Stratton, maybe, but I wouldn't want it. I would kind of want to see Raquel Rodriguez. You get the size. It would be visually good, but would she have enough ability to talk to Jade Cargill and cut the good promos? I don't think she can, because Jade Cargill can barely cut a promo. Jade Cargill's promo skills are, yeah, I'm that bitch. And nobody gets behind her. Nobody. Yeah. She's not a heel that people are getting behind. Right. She needs to come out, lose. She'll win. Maybe she'll win. Maybe she'll lose. No guarantees, but she needs to lose and somehow endear herself as a babyface. But by the time that transformation happens, you'll have a returning Bianca Belair, who just came out of successful finger surgery.
Correct.
I don't know, because Jade Cargill is literally a placeholder.
Right.
She has a look. Good. Yeah, Kiana James, no. As good as Kiana James is, that was a flash in the pan. That was a fluke. It's not enough. Now, by the way, Kiana James was over with the people a little bit. They started chanting her name here and there. I don't know. If you do Asuka, it could be good. Could be.
I think that you get into more of an issue in terms of promos and selling the match,
because then you've also got to bring Kairi Sane along with her.
Correct.
That's more. If you do it with Alexa Bliss, unless Charlotte gets involved, which they kind of hinted at that maybe you could do the angle where Charlotte gets involved and there's a lot of angst about her not being there. And then Charlotte screws Alexa Bliss over at WrestleMania. You could do it that way. Tiffany Stratton is boring.
Yep.
It's Tiffy time has gotten her nowhere. She had a look. She had energy. She walked down to the ring and nobody gave a fuck. She got lukewarm responses. She's not as over as she thought she was. And she was surprised on Friday going down that ramp. Yeah, Alexa Bliss is the only one that makes any sense out of everything that's available, because of Charlotte. Because when you saw it, Charlotte came down to the ramp as Jade Cargill was leading, and Jade Cargill got in Charlotte's face, and they pulled Jade Cargill off her, which was interesting because you're acknowledging that Charlotte's more important than the champ. Because she would not get away from Charlotte, and they said, hey, get away from her, get away from her. And they dragged the visual of them dragging the champion and telling her to leave Charlotte Flair alone, let her have her moment, is telling. I would imagine Charlotte Flair screwing over Alexa Bliss and going, that's my WrestleMania moment, and at Backlash, I am going to take the title away from Jade Cargill. You have a three-way match. You have a Backlash three-way match between the three of them. Cargill wins and drags on for a while.
Yeah.
And then you have Alexa Bliss and you know, it's the only thing that makes sense. But, you know.
I could see that. I could see that if they don't go that route, Rhea Ripley makes sense. That's who I've got in that match. So I'm not going to fantasy book for 6 months out, but Rhea Ripley wins that match. Up next, we've got Becky Lynch versus AJ Lee for the Women's Intercontinental Championship.
Ooh, AJ Lee is your new champion.
Yeah. And
in case
people are curious as far as why we're both saying that AJ Lee wins this match, right there, in case you're watching the show, this some bitch is going on in Chicago. Yeah, they're going to do it for the pop. So AJ Lee wins the title here.
But she will drop it quickly. She will drop it quickly.
Yeah, she'll be a transitional champion.
Drop it to Natalya, if I were to guess.
I realistically, it would make sense. I could see her carrying the title into WrestleMania and losing the title at WrestleMania. So,
yeah,
that would be what makes sense. And then elsewhere, last but not least, CM Punk versus Finn Balor. You touched on it earlier. I think the entire Judgment Day is going to turn on Finn. He's done, and it's going to cost Finn at the time when he needs them the most. And this is going to end up spawning a Finn Balor babyface turn, which I am all for.
By the way, they hinted at it tonight. Everyone in the Judgment Day locker room was dressed in their ring attire or t-shirts and jeans. He came out in a suit. He came out in a black suit with a white shirt. Clean cut. And he goes, hey, look there, brother. I got to do this on my own. Oh, I know, brother.
Your fucking accents kill me. They kill me. Anyway.
Oi, mate.
Anyway, without any further ado, I've put up this graphic right. Three separate times. Let's finally shift gears and talk about AEW. And AEW Dynamite specifically kicking it off from Wednesday. And this was a pretty solid show from beginning to end, man. You had the TV debut of the Brawling Birds. And say whatever you will about them as singles competitors. But the fact is, they've got a great entrance theme. They've got matching gear. They've got tag team chemistry. They're already stepped ahead of almost every other tag team in AEW on the women's side. So, shout outs to them on that front. I think that, they've got a badass finish in the heart attack. I'm a mark for anybody that used the heart attack as a finish. So there you go. So good stuff from Mark Alex Windsor and Jamie Hayter.
Davis.
Dude, Moxley and Mark Davis. On the surface, didn't seem like much of a match, but what really kind of set this match off was a particular spot where Mark Davis hauled off and punched the ring post. Obviously, it was aiming for Moxley's head. Moxley moves, and Mark Davis just punches the fucking ring post. And I don't know if he bladed on his knuckles or if it was hard way. But he got some extreme color on his fist hitting that ring post. So, it was pretty interesting. And I haven't seen, any kind of stuff like that in quite a while. So some originality, always good. Obviously, Moxley retained. in that championship.
It was an eliminator match. So
it was the eliminator. Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't even go forward to defend.
That's correct. Yeah. And then elsewhere, you did have Willow Nightingale retaining her TBS championship over Marina Shafir, Megan Bain, and Mina Shirakawa. And tell me if you've heard this one before. Mina is in the match for one reason and one reason only, and that is to eat the fucking pin. That's become her role at this point.
You don't want to make Megan Bain look weak. Even though if you had Willow Nightingale pin Megan Bain, that would make Willow Nightingale stock rise. Marina Shafir is part of the fucking mega faction, the Death Riders. So you're not going to have her eat a pin.
Correct.
So who's left? Who has no allegiance to anyone?
Exactly. Really. And I'll tell you, man, also, and we'll talk about it here in just a second with Collision, but they had Megan Bain do a squash match against, you know, a job competitor, but they're clearly positioning her for something. So it wouldn't surprise me if Willow actually drops that TBS championship to Megan, probably at Revolution, if I had to guess. That would make the most sense.
Okay, I can get behind that. She still has the tag belts, and that's good enough for a while. Unless they go full-blown and have her and Penelope Ford take everything.
And that's the thing that you could have. It's really kind of interesting because if somebody has more than one title, I'm of the belief that you don't need to have somebody that is holding two championships hostage, especially in a, let's be real, what has become a pretty crowded women's division. You've got, the tag titles and the TBS title being held up between Willow and Harley. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, but they do need to get one of those championships off.
Marina Shafir, the TBS title, and then you get the tag titles to Penelope and Megan Bain. That would make sense because those three are somewhat loosely, affiliated. That would work. And now you have a heel reign for a while.
You could definitely do that.
Have them chase. You could do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, obviously we talked about that four-way. We also discovered that the face-to-face was setting up the Revolution stipulation as they're dusting off the most hated stipulation in AEW history. And if Hangman Page gets his wish and it is a Texas death match, then if Hangman Page loses that match, he will not be able to challenge for the AEW World Championship ever again. Obviously, those people that remember Cody obviously losing this stipulation early on in AEW's history kind of pigeonholed him into strictly being a TNT competitor. But the thing that I would caution everybody before they get so worked up, if you look at how many mid-card championships and let's be real, other championships that there are outside of the world championship, I think if Hangman Page did lose this match, I think he'll be fine. He's been world champion twice. You could have him go after any of those other secondary championships like your continental, like your international, your national, your TNT, your trios, your tag, whatever
let's,
the fuck.
Let's be honest. It's crazy. Let's be honest. Cody was a different thing. Cody didn't want it to feel like, not nepotism, but Cody didn't want to make it feel like he was just buying his own belt.
Right. Exactly.
This guy is young enough. There's no indication that he's going to any other brand. So there's no way in fucking hell he's going to lose this now. And I don't want him to have the belt now. I don't even like that he's challenging for the belt right now. I don't like that he's in Jet Set Rodeo. He seems like a fish completely out of water.
Yes. Okay.
It doesn't make sense that he's with a tag team of two high-flying guys in Mike Bailey and Knight.
Kevin Knight.
Why are we doing these weird combinations of people? Why don't we have something for this guy to do? my whole thing was you had a group called the Elite. The members of the Elite are all floating around on their own instead of just going, wait a minute, we're all good guys now, right? I'm a face, you're a face, Kenny Omega, Young Bucks, you're a face. Why the fuck aren't we just the Elite again? And then we fight for whatever belts we want instead of just aligning ourselves with other people. I mean, you don't need to put over Kevin Knight and Mike Bailey. They're over. They're over on their own. They're organically over. And in AEW, typically when you're organically over, they go, hold on, let's give you TV time. Unlike WWE, which goes, can we wait about 2 years until nobody gives a fuck and then make you the champion?
Yeah, no shit.
Or give you the shortest title reign ever like Kofi Kingston and then have you lose in 7 seconds to a finisher? Yeah. So, I mean, I don't like this at all. If he loses, fuck, man. Yeah. There was reason for this. There's just no reason for this.
Yeah. So we will see what happens. Obviously, the way that everything's going to work, MJF kind of alluded to it last week on this show that Hangman's going to name a stip. MJF's going to name a stip. And then I guess they're going to put it up for a vote. I guess it's like Taboo Tuesday in WWF. Who knows? What the fuck?
Fucking dumb.
We'll see what happens. Just name it a Texas death match and get it over with. You're overcomplicating things. Speaking of overcomplicating things, or in this case, not overcomplicating things and just doing what's right and what needed to happen, in your main event, you had Kenny Omega versus Swerve Strickland, and you had Swerve Strickland cheat to defeat Kenny Omega, and then went full heel after the match in what was needed to happen. Swerve hanging Kenny Omega over the top rope with the chain, dropping him with a vertebraker through the announce table. Good God. Good God. Well done. They write Kenny off of TV, which plays in because he can't be at the Revolution pay-per-view. Because he is contracted to be working Capcom Con in Japan, and he booked that appearance out over a year in advance, so he was not able to be at this pay-per-view, and already made that known to Tony, so obviously there's no heat there, but that was the reason why this match happened on a throwaway Dynamite. A lot of people were kind of complaining that we were getting this match for free, as opposed to getting it, you know, for spending $50.
Oh, God. You know.
Okay. Okay.
Damned if you don't. Oh, we don't put these matches on TV. All right. Well, we did. Why did you put this on TV? This should have been a PLE. Oh, exactly. You poor fuckheads. Shut the fuck up.
And dare I say, the ones complaining the most do refer to those monthly super shows as PLEs and not PPVs.
I don't care.
Take that as you will.
I don't care.
More tribalism, hooray.
You fucking WWE marks.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, let's talk about Collision, which went down on Saturday. And let's be real. I this was a very easy to digest episode of Collision. It was pretty solid. We started off
with Jet Set Rodeo versus The Demand, even though they're at the top of the card. That was the first match.
That is correct.
And The Demand looks fucking great.
Dude, they are booking them like a bunch of badasses, which is exactly how they need to book them. However, Jet Set Rodeo retained those AEW World Trios titles. Obviously, in the middle of this match, there was some chicanery that went down. Ricochet decided to obviously do his thing. And so Jack Perry shows up out of nowhere. So the feud that will never die is never dying. And Jack Perry versus Ricochet still continues to be a thing.
Why has he got his hair braided like he's a fucking elf from, you know, the Lord of the Rings? I don't know what he's going for. Like, hey, bro. I just put the pointy ears on already.
Maybe he was at the Comic Con. You know, maybe Kenny went to Capcom Con. Maybe Jack Perry, you know, went to some other kind of a random con.
Anyways, yeah, all he does is you show up and then, oh my God, I'm all distracted. Oh, and then Jack Perry winks at the camera and you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Elsewhere, we did have Claudio Castagnoli retaining the CMLL World Heavyweight Championship, defeating Josh Alexander. I'll tell you this right now. If you are going to see anything from this episode of Collision, go watch this match and just sit there and marvel in just how freakishly strong Claudio Castagnoli is. This guy, there's a spot in this match where he deadlift picks up Josh Alexander, who's 230, 240 pounds, deadlift picks him up from a non-standing position. He was on his knees when he started the deadlift pickup of Josh Alexander. He picks him up and just obviously does a mat return type of a slam. There's another spot in this match where he catches Alexander from a cross body and again deadlift, repositions him, spins him around, puts him into a vertical suplex. Dude, Castagnoli is doing some of the best shit that he's done in recent memory. And because it's happening on CMLL and on Collision, it's not being appreciated for just how good it is. Trust me on that.
It's a prime example, classic meat, just man meat, whamming into each other. Good old match. Fucking loved it.
Absolutely. And in your main event, yes, I said your main event. Notice up at the top of the at the top of this image, you have Jet Set Rodeo versus The Demand. We already talked about that. We already talked about Claudio versus Josh Alexander.
Thunder Rosa did come back.
Death Riders versus Don Callis Family was exactly what you would expect. Wheeler Yuta ate the pin. Takeshita got the pin. Thunder Rosa looked good in her return from injury. And she beats up on Julia Hart. And then gets called a dumb bitch after the match by Tekla, who, dude, go watch some of Tekla's promos. They're on AEW social media. I don't know why they don't roll them in and just cut time out of the broadcast for her promos. They're fucking awesome because she says the things that everybody's thinking anyway. And just her delivery, I'm not saying that Thunder Rose is a bitch or anything like that, but what I'm saying is that she is very real with her promo. You can tell that she's being authentic. You can tell that she's ramping her in real life personality up by 10, by a factor of 10.
And so, that's what I ask for anyone doing this kind of work. Your consistency in and out of the ring, on your social media, tie it all the fuck together.
Absolutely.
Tie it all together.
Absolutely. And, so your main event was a non-announced match. It was an eliminator match for the AEW World Tag Team Championships, the Rascals versus FTR. And FTR does not defeat the Rascals. The Rascals defeat FTR, and they pick up a world title match at some point in the future. My only question: are we going to end up getting a three-way match at Revolution now between FTR, the Young Bucks, and the Rascals? Which, if we are, that's just setting off alarm bells all over the place.
Hold on.
For some shit.
Do it as a TLC match.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Baby doll, do it as a TLC match.
That's what I'm talking about, man. That is what I'm talking about. But Collision was not over after those hands were raised. Oh, no, because after the match, FTR, they got their heat back in some of the best heel ways possible. They attacked Mama Buck and Papa Buck. They pulled the brother of the Young Bucks out of the crowd and gave him a fucking spike pile driver. All the while, Dax is wearing the younger Jackson Brothers glasses. Dude, textbook heel work by FTR. Excellent stuff building this match. I'll say it, man. Collision was an extraordinary show for how they normally have been doing Collision.
Reflecting, are the AEW numbers reflecting the, you know, what growth they have in their writing and programming?
Well, you know, it's great that you ask that, because thanks to the Dirt Sheets, how apropos of a Facebook page they have. Last week, let's talk about ratings. So TNA, which we don't normally talk about on this show, their numbers did drop week over week, but we're not going to focus on that. What we are going to focus on is AEW Dynamite's numbers, which everybody for the longest time claimed, oh, AEW's dead in the water. They're dead. They're not going to be doing anything. This last week's episode of AEW Dynamite on February 11th, so a week ago, drew 692 viewers, up from 604 from the previous week. So they are going up week over week, which realistically
88,000 viewer boost. Gotta love it.
Yeah, man. And you know what? The
counting
rumors,
Max either.
Exactly. Those Max numbers are not factored in. And as we know, you might as well factor about 400,000 to 500,000, because that is the number that they've mentioned that is pretty close to being true. So yeah, looking about 1 million viewers by the time it's all said and done for Dynamite each week.
Love
so
it. Good you gotta job. Love it. Good job. And we want TNA to do well. They've got a contract. They've got good writing. They've got good stories. They will find their new. I think it's just a matter of being in a new venue
Building
your audience. And that's,
completely. Once their viewing audience gets used to watching them on AMC, they'll be good.
It's a weird venue for them, but fuck it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, earlier we gave our predictions for the Elimination Chamber, but now TKO is doing what they had already made public that they were going to be doing here in Vegas for Mania. And they're doing it for the Elimination Chamber. They are blocking watch parties from happening at bars and restaurants in the Chicago area during the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view.
Because they want people to pay for subs. They want people to pay for subs. If you're going to a watch party, you're not going to watch it in your home. So fuck you.
No, they're wanting people to pay those thousands of dollars for tickets.
Both.
To be there live.
Both. And you know what? This is your own fucking fault for this shitty writing this year.
Yeah.
By the way, absolutely. Cena versus Cena, soulless Cena versus fucking soulless Cena versus Cody Rhodes was great. We were promised something really good. And what we got was a Cody Rhodes that turned out to be a chicken shit. And then he, in the course of a single speech, turns John Cena babyface again in the course of one speech. And they wrapped everything up with a bow and patted John Cena on the ass. And he left his Kmart sneakers in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
Now you've got a bunch of guys you based everything around. They're injured in the Vision. And now without the Vision, you have no storyline. Versus just putting fucking an LA Knight out there to talk up a good promo and say, I deserve everything. Yeah. Hey, you remember me? Yeah, dummies. Nope. And now on top of this, something that you could have maybe charged, maybe there could have been a fee, something. You could have figured out a way to do a corporate account. Maybe have a corporate account.
Yeah.
Type of way to determine whom is, you know, going to be broadcast. You could have did a corporate account for AMC movie theaters. There's something that you could have done by which you retain some of the money. To be so fucking stupid about it. Now I want to pirate the shit out of your programming even more.
Yeah.
The watch wrestling's out there. All right. That's what you get. You are begging people.
Not that we are endorsing any of those methods here on the Vegas Bad Boys podcast, by any means. We want everybody to buy the shows legally.
And do it legitimately.
That's right.
That said, you're fucking begging people. begging people. You're like, hey, man, we don't value our own content anymore. We want you to pay for every penny. Well, couldn't I just go there and go to a bar with a bunch of people and watch it in a nice environment? No.
Yeah, oh. Exactly. You know, all the TKOs want you to do is just to do it legally. You know, I mean, I don't get what's so bass ackwards about that. Oh, wait, that's right. They just don't want people to congregate and to not go to their multi-$1,000 event. But,
here's the stupid thing. How many people in this day and age have home theaters? A lot of people.
Yep.
A lot of people. Yep. What are you fucking stupid for a living? What are you fucking dumb for a living?
Exactly.
Like, I can't just go to like his house. He's got a home theater. Go. I have a home theater.
Yep, exactly. I'll be having my own motherfucking watch party. You know, like
you fucking morons. Where the fuck do you get off being so goddamn stupid? The reason why you're doing this is because you made such a shit program that I don't want to go. And by the way, why the fuck would I want to go to Vegas 2 years in a row when I live there? It's exhausting. Yeah. It's not cheap. Your tickets aren't cheap. Nosebleed isn't cheap.
No, not at all. You and
stupid motherfuckers. Fuck, yeah. Man, it annoys me.
Yeah. And
the president wants to talk about it.
You know what? Actually, let's go ahead and let's do this.
You know what? I'm so angry right now. I don't even have enough time to get my hair and my makeup all done. Not that I have hair that's not you. I mean, the hair's underneath the head and the makeup. I don't wear makeup. It's beautiful skin. But I'm so angry that right now that my face went pale white because the blood drained out of me when I saw what a fucking shitty job that WWE and TKO have done with this year's WrestleMania. And I've got a great relationship with Nick Khan and with Hunter Paul, if you will, and with the McMahon family, Linda McMahon. We have a wonderful relationship. She's my Secretary of Education. She's doing a fantastic job. Quite honestly, one of the best Secretaries of Education that anyone's ever seen. But this is about the WWE, the WWE, by which I'm a multi-time Universal World Heavyweight Champion. And the way that they are running this year's WrestleMania is absolute shit. They're doing a horrible job. This is a horrible job. They're not going to have watch parties, okay? If I wanted to have a watch party of my wife's terrible movie, my wife's wonderful, greatest movie, we're going to have watch parties. We're going to have watch parties. We're going to take it to your local bar, and you can watch my wife. It's going to be Maxim Models Gone Wild 6. Maxim Models Gone Wild 6. It's a tremendous movie. You get to see all the things we do with a bottle of ketchup. It's incredible.
I'm sure there's outstanding cinematography.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And this is coming like never before seen. But you've got this terrible, terrible WrestleMania. They did it 2 years in Las Vegas. Nobody can afford to go. You want to talk about affordability. The reason why there's affordability problems right now is because the WWE is charging millions and millions and millions of dollars to watch their shitty programming. They've got no headliners worth a goddamn. Nobody cares about Fragile Phil. Nobody cares about Drew Galloway, McIntyre, Scotsman, McScotty. Okay, beat me up a real champion, okay? Why don't you beat me up a real champion, okay? Then we've got Almost a Star. Oh, no, wait, Oba Femi. I mix them up sometimes, okay? They all look the same. And you got these people, they're terrible, they're horrible. The guy walks around with donut holes on his neck, and he's dancing to the ring. Who walks in dancing like that? Nobody does that. Nobody walks in dancing like this. Nobody does. Do you? I don't know anybody who does that. I've never seen anyone ever do that before. Okay.
I've never seen anyone do that.
Nobody does that. Okay.
Nobody.
These people are horrible. They're terrible. They're making the WWE the world whack entertainment. Okay. The world's wackest entertainment. I think that's what the kids say. The world's wackest entertainment. Okay.
I would
get this medal. I didn't get this Nobel Peace Prize. They didn't get it for nothing, okay? We calculated one of the greatest bombings of Venezuela ever known. Now I've got their Nobel Peace Prize, okay? That's how you win, okay? That's called winning, all right? When they go low, I go really low, and I get myself medals, okay? Why don't you try getting a little dirty, Triple H?
All right, y'all. So, you know what? I think that let's just take a dump, shall we?
Right now. There you go.
All right. There we go. All right. So, up first, shout outs to Mike Santana, 3 years sober. Absolutely. Congratulations to you, sir. 2/16/23, I took the first step to change my life, and every day since, I've been grateful for what this life has given me. Thank you to everyone who's taken this ride with me the last couple of years. Hell yes, sir. Hell yes.
Good on you. Good on you.
Good on you. And yeah, speaking of good on you, and we just talked about AJ Styles earlier. Some pretty interesting things happened on Being the Elite, which dropped earlier today on Monday. The Young Bucks and Christopher Daniels were doing a BTE mailbag, and they were asked what match that they would like to do again. And Christopher Daniels answers, it would be really cool to do Samoa Joe and AJ one more time. To which Matt Jackson replied, Uncle Allen, which obviously is a little bit of an inside baseball joke, because what was it when AJ Styles was filming out in the stands for the WWE video packages, Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton, they were yelling across the venue for Uncle Allen, and making sure that they got completely into his footage. So, Uncle Allen, I tried to text you the other day. I got a green one. You changed your number, buddy. Congrats on a wonderful career. We love you. So,
what's a green one? What am I missing there?
Talking iPhone messages versus Android messages.
All right.
Okay. So, thus implying that the number changed, and whoever has his new number, or whoever has his old number, has an Android device, which incidentally is a complete matter of subjection, whether which one you prefer between Android and Apple. If you guys are hanging out with us, leave that down in the chat box. Which one do you prefer, Apple or Android? Elsewhere, speaking of what you like, certain people get in this business because they like to wrestle, okay? And when you're not being used, that can lead to some discontent. And Deonna Purrazzo, the current Ring of Honor Women's Pure Champion, went on to a podcast and said that her inactivity after winning the ROH Women's Pure Championship, quote, it's really defeating, it's really upsetting. So her morale is in the toilet right now, and you got to wonder just what the hell is going on. But don't worry, we're going to talk about Ring of Honor actually with this very next news blurb, because it was announced that Ring of Honor is shifting back to studio show tapings beginning on March 1st. So logistically, the way that this is going to work, Ring of Honor will have a permanent home in Jacksonville, Florida, at least for the foreseeable future, where they will be able to record multiple episodes and keep that machine going, if you will. My thing is this: if they keep AEW and ROH completely separate, I am great with this. What this allows them to do is now you're going to start seeing Ring of Honor, it's on its own taping, but you're going to get Collision as a taped episode following Dynamite. So that realistically will allow them to record both Dynamite and Collision in the same venue, thus driving down their costs. Yes, the shows are recorded, but as they're seeing, there's not really a huge drop-off in numbers because it already is the B show, and people are kind of expecting that. So, yeah, if they keep them separate, I'm good with it.
Whatever. She didn't want to be in Ring of Honor. She wanted to be on AEW, but whatever.
Exactly. Exactly. And pretty interesting note here, former WWE superstar and New Japan Pro Wrestling wrestler Fred Rosser is personally helping to train Stephen Borden. And if this image looks familiar or the name Stephen Borden rings a bell, yeah, that's Sting's son.
Looks so just like him.
It looks exactly like him. I can say that the Dynamite and Collision tapings here in Vegas, there was one dark match before it all got started, and that was Stephen Borden out there in front of the audience getting his ring bumps in and getting his ring time in, I should say, and getting everything in line for hopefully a forthcoming debut.
Wait a minute. Here now I'm gonna be Matt. We're here. We'd be talking shit about this.
Yeah.
What if he came out as Sting?
I would have a problem with that. He is, so the music that they've given him is very similar to the sound of his Surfer Sting theme, but it doesn't obviously have the lyrics. The chord progression is not the same, but you can tell that it's very 80s, very in the same vein as that Surfer Sting theme. Obviously he's embracing his roots, but he wants to be his own guy. He does not want to wrestle under the face paint of his father. He's actually gone on interviews and said that. So big ups to him for wanting to do things right and establish his own name instead of taking his father's name.
I respect it, but I would love to see at one point they just pass the torch. I think that would be, man, that's a tough one.
Yeah,
I get it, but shit. And I know Lexi's King did the exact same thing. He didn't want to be Brian Pillman Jr., but fuck, man. It's like, just do it.
I get you.
I get it.
Yeah. You know, that phrase that you just said encapsulates my exact thoughts for this next image. I get it, but and this is a callback to earlier. Let's take a look at the average ticket prices for WrestleMania through the years. So WrestleMania 38, not too distant of a memory. WrestleMania 38, $135 was your average ticket price. WrestleMania 39, $169 for your average ticket price. WrestleMania 40, $341 average per ticket.
I don't mind that because it's a 40. It's one of those, you know. All right, it's a 10-year one. Okay. 41.
Last but not least on this graphic, WrestleMania 41 here in Las Vegas, your average ticket price was $635. That's fucking insane. I am all about capitalism. Absolutely. At the same time, prices exponentially increase by more than four times, you are truly ripping people off.
Oh, yeah. And the quality of those matches were not worth what you charged.
Absolutely not. And this year's WrestleMania 42, even with your 25% off, is nearly $1,000 average ticket price.
Oh, come on.
It's fucking insane.
What did I say earlier? Insane. You're begging people to pirate your shit. You're fucking begging people to pirate your shit. You're begging for it. You're begging for it.
Absolutely.
Don't tell me you want to make money. If you get 10 people to buy something at $1,000 average ticket price, great. But 100 people don't want to. Did you really make any money?
Exactly. Exactly.
You're trying to tell me that before TKO, you could sell something at $135, fill up the arena, sell the concessions, sell the t-shirts. Everyone goes home happy. Everyone's got money in their pocket. The wrestlers have money in their pockets. They got contracts. Okay. Write better stories. Good. You genuinely or generally know how to do that. But then when you're trying to fucking hold us up at gunpoint for just to walk into the building.
Yeah.
Beers are still going to be $20 each.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
T-shirt
food prices are going to be out of control.
$40 last year for my t-shirt was $40. For a baseball or football style jersey that said John Cena on it was over $100.
Yeah.
Fine. I get that much. Okay. You want to charge $400 for a replica belt? Fine. Get it. When all of that stuff is less than the price to walk through the fucking door. You con artists.
I see what you did there. Well played. Well played. Ah, speaking of what some would say to be a con artist, Chris Jericho's AEW contract is believed to be frozen, meaning he remains under contract with AEW. This comes from All Wrestling News on Facebook. It's a pretty funny AI-generated image, in case you're just listening to the show. Good. It looks pretty good. It's an AI Tony Khan holding Chris Jericho's AEW contract, which has been frozen under ice. Pretty funny. AI is awesome.
Well, I'm looking at counting the fingers on Tony Khan's hand, and they don't look
oh,
right.
God.
Hold on. It's
yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. Oh, yeah, but it looks weird.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. But anyway, it's AI. So I guess the cold splash of water, pun somewhat intended, for those people assuming that Chris Jericho was going to be in the box, which I was one of those. And clearly they pivoted, and you're not going to have Chris Jericho as part of the Elimination Chamber match. So we shall see what happens in terms of Chris Jericho returning to WWE. Elsewhere in the world of pro wrestling, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, reveals that wrestling fans, dude, every day, I feel like the embarrassed father of all of you crazy motherfuckers, because some of you guys just don't know how to fucking act. And I'm not saying that to be funny. Like,
she was a dentist. She has a life. You know, for anyone, there was the kid who speared Seth Rollins. He jumped onto the ramp and speared Seth Rollins, and then he went on social media to brag about it.
Yep.
I would love for them to parade these people on social media. I think that we should publicly shame people who do things like this and then see how they like it. I would definitely go, all right, as part of your punishment, you're going to spend a month in jail. And we're going to have a fucking jail fucking feed go right to your cell. And every day you have to go on a public feed and you'd have to go on an AEW channel or WWE channel. You got to go, yo, I am literally here in prison. This is a real prison. You walk the camera down the hall and you show San Quentin or whatever it is. And then you go to that person's cell and you're like, I'm here because I harassed this woman. This woman has practice. This woman needs to be able to make a living, and she was never going to do wrestling forever, and she wants to take a break from it, and she's entitled to do whatever the fuck she wants. You leave her alone.
Agreed. So, Britt Baker reveals that wrestling fans have driven her away from full-time dentistry with death threats. So, way to go, guys. Nice job. Nice freaking job. Pieces of absolute shit.
What did they have to threaten her over?
I don't get it.
Make it. All right, next, please.
Exactly. So we're about ready to wrap. But
God bless you,
just
Britt Baker.
Before
I hope you get your practice back the way you want it. So
Absolutely. So, yeah, before we wrap, last but not least, from social media, Jordynne Grace posted a picture in the gym where she was, not wearing a whole lot of clothes, to which Blake Monroe replies, "We're just getting coochie out in the gymnasium now." And Jordynne Grace just replies, "We working out every muscle, baby. We working out every muscle. Can't go wrong with that, man." Wow. And, you know, it's speaking of working out every
Jonathan
muscle.
Jonathan Gresham's a lucky motherfucker.
Jonathan Gresham is a very lucky individual. And, you know, speaking of working out every muscle. Yeah, I know that, Rob, you're going to be doing that this Wednesday. So let's talk to the people. Let's tell them where they can see you live, where they can follow you on social media.
You can see me at the Vintage Vegas Cocktail Lounge every Wednesday at 8 o'clock with my co-host, Mike Stiggs, and Stella. Stella is the formal host of the show, her beautiful, beautiful self. And this week, we've got Christina Marker, Sam Lundstedt, and two headliners. Jay Devon, Carlos Anthony. If you want to see these guys, typically you'd have to go to LA Comedy Club. No, you can come to my show.
Hell yeah.
And see LA Comedy Club guys on my show at the Vintage Vegas Cocktail Lounge. Shout out to Jeff and Mai.
Hell yeah. Hell yes. Shout out to them. I was there last week and it was hilarious, man. You had a good lineup. I'd actually never been to this venue before. Super cool, kind of retro meets modern kind of a vibe that they've got going there at the Vintage Vegas Cocktail Lounge.
In that cocktail lounge comes from old casinos, the Riviera, the Tropicana, places that have not been around anymore. You're sitting on literally Vegas history. You gotta love it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Where can people follow you on social media? Where can they buy a Cameo, Rob?
Rob at Vegas Trump Guy, cameo.com/BOCE comedy, and on TikTok at Vegas Trump Guy as well. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. All right, guys. And I just want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout weight loss and general energy needs. Again, that's repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%. And Rob. We made it to another week, brother. We made it to another week, but I do want to give a very special shout out to our brother, Matt Michaels.
Yes.
Absolutely, man. I hope that you're doing well, and I hope to see you back on this show in no time. But until that time.
They held back on a lot of what they could do.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert nights. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry, dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.